The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster back with you. Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on Tuesday, May 28th, 2019, listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. My thanks to the guest hosts who held down the fort while I was away for a couple of weeks in the West Indies. Thanks to Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson, Dan Shear, the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, on the menu live foodie Matt Russell, Ryan Hansen, head of Bon Voyage Travel, Ray Allen, KVOI operations manager, and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Great work to my friends. Thank you very much for helping out while I was away. Well, let's get going now. Earlier this spring, the Tucson City Council adopted the Complete Streets Policy. It's a new directive that was 2 years in the making, involving city officials and pulling together a grant from the American Heart Association. And one of the groups that was involved in this, the Living Streets Alliance. Emily Yetman, the executive director of Living Streets Alliance, is with us. She is actually the founder of Living Streets Alliance, which was founded in 2011. Emily, good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Tell me a little bit about what the Complete Streets Policy is.
Well, basically what it does is it kind of commits the city to a vision of building our streets in a way that's going to make them safe for everyone, so that no matter who you are or how you get around, you're going to be able to do that safely and comfortably. So if you're on a bike, on foot, if you're 5 years old, if you're 85 years old, you can get to where you need to go.
So in the policy itself, what does it call for?
Well, basically calls for the city to, as we're designing, building, maintaining our roadways, to look for opportunities to make them safer and more accommodating for all modes of transportation. So that doesn't necessarily mean that on every single street we're always going to have a bike lane, but it means that we're always looking at safety first and foremost, so that, you know, whoever is moving through that area can do it and get to where they need to go safely.
A lot of people very concerned, Emily Yetman, about this spike in the number of pedestrian and cyclist deaths. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that?
Well, I think we're seeing the results of a really hectic society, right? People are trying to do more and more quickly, and we're seeing the result of that in our streets, where people are speeding, people are distracted, they're multitasking. And so with a Complete Streets policy, we actually have an opportunity to start designing and building our streets in a way that will prevent a lot of those crashes and fatalities from happening.
Why did you get involved in 2011 with this idea, which is now, I believe you've got five employees now, and Cyclovia has been growing over the years. So, I mean, we are a bike friend, I would assume a bike friendly town, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we certainly have a ways to go, but we have nice weather most of the year. We've got a pretty flat terrain, and so we've got a lot going for us in terms of being able to utilize a bike or to walk places. The first Cyclovia, or Ciclovia, you can say it however you want, happened here in 2010, and about 5,000 people came out. And I actually volunteered during that event and got to watch and witness just how many people were excited about being able to walk and bike and be with their families and explore neighborhoods and business districts. And so to me, that it showed that there was really a lot of energy and, you know, kind of collective support in the community for that sort of thing to be possible more often. And so that's really where Living Streets Alliance came out of.
The Living Streets Alliance is something that is unique to Tucson, or is this is something that had gone on in other cities?
A lot of major cities across the world and in the U.S. as well have strong biking advocacy organizations or walking groups. We were looking at the streets in general as a resource in our community, you know, something that everyone needs to use, and thinking about not just people on foot and on bike, but how we can improve transit, how we can make it safer and more convenient for people driving too, because there are ways to make it all possible.
When you look at getting back to this kind of spike in the fatalities that we've had of pedestrians, some people will say that Tucsonans really, that the bicyclists are the problem, that they get in the way. What do you say to those people?
Well, that's an interesting perspective. And I think on the flip side of that, I saw a really great bus ad one time that said this bus is 65 fewer cars in front of you. And so I think about that with bikes too. Every person you see on a bike is one person that's not having to take up room in the car in front of you. So there's that. But, you know, streets belong to everyone. And, you know, if you're walking, if you're using transit, if you're taking a bike, you're not putting as much wear and tear on the road, right? So that has some really big benefits over time. A lot less maintenance. So there's definitely trade-offs. And I think that when we hear of someone on a bike, we tend to think of, you know, probably someone in their 50s on a road mm-hmm. bike, you know, enjoying it. But there's also moms and like me with, you know, 4-year-old and a 6-year-old on the back of my bike trying to get around, or there's different types of people that use bikes. And so I think we need to keep that in mind. This is about people.
Have there been some people when you have been out bicycling with your two youngins that where people have been very disrespectful?
I think, again, people, you know, we're all guilty of this. We get going and we think we're running late. We got to get somewhere. And so anything that's in our way, we have that kind of visceral reaction to be agitated. And I've definitely had the experience of, you know, people being upset, even when I'm out with my kids. And so it's a good reminder to us all to just take a deep breath, slow down.
And it's very dangerous too, and I know if people that will honk come on unexpectedly up to the bicyclists and they'll honk, and that's very dangerous.
It's definitely unsettling.
Yes. Give us some examples downtown Tucson where cars and pedestrians and cyclists seem to be doing pretty well and coexisting.
So there's one block of street, and it's actually Stone Avenue between, I want to say that's Tule Avenue, and then as you head into downtown, there's one block where you can see a really great example of something called a protected bike lane. And that creates a space where people on bikes are protected from cars that are moving by. So it's great because cars know exactly where to expect people mm-hmm. on bikes. They know where to expect people on foot crossing the street. It created some on-street parking as well. So that's good for the local businesses there. So if you go and observe that one block area, you can actually see how creating space on the street for everyone works really well. And it doesn't take a lot of extra resources. It's just delineating space differently.
We've been speaking with Emily Yetman. Emily is the executive director of the Living Streets Alliance, a nonprofit organization formed in 2011, aiming to create awareness of unsafe streets to push for wider, safer uses of city streets. Where can people, Emily, find out more about your organization?
You can find us at livingstreetsalliance.org.
And do you run on, as a nonprofit, I'm sure that money is always an issue. Is it charitable giving? People can donate, or how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a 501c3, so if you're listening and want to support our work to create safer streets here in Tucson, by all means, we will always gladly welcome your donations. We also do sponsorships if you're interested in getting involved in Cyclovia. We had 44,000 people come out this past spring. Lots of opportunities.
Cyclovia is the same period every year then, or?
So we do it twice a year. We tend to do one at the beginning of April and at the end of October, kind of to bookend the beginning of the winter seasons when everything's nice, and then celebrate at the very end of it before we launch into summer.
Perfect. And while I was away, I guess we had some unusual weather here, cool weather in Tucson, very unheard of for May. And unfortunately, for the first time, 100 degrees has popped up in our forecast.
Oh, no.
For next Monday. I think they're calling for 101 degrees now in the official forecast for Monday. But we've held off on 100 degrees, and it is unusual to go into June and not have hit that century mark. Emily, all the best to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. Bye. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. That would be a beautiful area, Emily, to pack up the bike. Ooh. And do some biking in the Gila National Wilderness, a beautiful area, and only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities, including coming up June 12th through the 15th in Silver City. They are going to have their Wild Wild West Pro Rodeo. So if you're into rodeo competition, it's coming up over in Silver City in mid-June. Also, one of our great sponsors is Mona's Danish Bakery. What a great bakery. I love Mona's. Home of the Danish Kringle, Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve and his team now have put together a breakfast menu, so they're now open at 6:30 for a hot breakfast. So that breakfast is going on all day, I guess. Right now it's also lunch at Mona's, so you might want to stop by, have a great sandwich on some of that bread that came out of the oven just a few hours ago. I like the kind of the rustic bread. Their white bread is really good, too. So check it out. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Not only to Mona's, but to all of the great partners who make our work possible here and have done so now as we are in our ninth year. So on the radio, thanks to people like Mona's and Silver City and our other great partners. We'll be right back. It's Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you a business who wants to make a difference in children's education without it costing a single penny? IBE, a school tuition organization, wants you to know about the Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. Talk to your accountant today. For two decades, IBE has made it simple for corporate donors, working with over 290 schools. IBE awards 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I'm going to consult with Shelley Fishman, not on the phone, but in person. The first time you...
It's a Bill Buckmaster, and he's back.
Yeah, he's back. And actually, I was thinking you were gone for about...
5 weeks.
5 weeks. I was gone for two, so it's been like 2 months almost.
Really?
Since we have been together in the studio. You know, Emily Yetman was talking about bicycles. You saw a lot of those where
in Northern Europe, bicycling is the way to get around.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're in Amsterdam, before you step 1 foot into the street from the sidewalk, you look to your left because there are bikes coming and they will not stop for you. And then you look to your left and right again because there are trolleys coming in both directions.
Oh,
and then thirdly, there are cars. But everybody obeys the rules.
Right.
If you step into the street at a crosswalk, everybody will come to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into the street and the light's red, they will not. And then it gets worse in Stockholm where the bikes have the right of way over pedestrians.
Oh.
And so that if you step into the street, you will get cursed at, screamed at, you getting off a bus, getting out of a car, look for bikes because everybody takes bikes. That's the way to go. And then there's one other new thing, scooters.
Oh.
And the scooters don't have to stay in the bike lanes. They can go on the sidewalk
or
in the street.
Yep.
And not everybody knows how to control them. So walking around in Stockholm, Oslo, especially Amsterdam, can be a challenge. But it's good to see because you see families on bikes. You see, dads and moms with their kids, in carriages in front and behind. I mean, that's the way people get around. And in front of the major train stations, there's literally thousands of bikes. I don't know how people find them after they lock them up there. And of course, the main avocation in some of these cities is bicycle theft. But nobody cares because their bike is, stolen. They go steal somebody else's.
And so the cycle continues.
Yes.
I tried not to see or disconnect. I tried to disconnect from the news for a couple of weeks, but it looked like there were some bad days on the market.
We've lost pretty much all but 10% of the gains
that we had.
So the market has taken a tank over the past since February.
Uh-huh. Are we still ahead for the year?
We are. We're about 10% up on average, given the three major indices that we look at. But what's happened is the trade problems that we're having with China and elsewhere have simply been the reactive force that has moved markets on a day-to-day basis. And our president hates it when the market goes down, so he lies about where the trade negotiations are with China, and the market goes up.
Right.
And then they see, an announcement from the Chinese that the negotiations aren't going anywhere, so the market goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump goes on the air and says, things are getting better. We're getting close to a deal.
Mm-hmm.
The markets go up.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of days later, the markets go down. This is a slingshot. It's just a roller coaster of volatility. And I think, finally, investors who really want the president to succeed in these trade talks especially with the Chinese, because there are some real things that need to be accomplished there. Mm-hmm. They're finally figuring out that they shouldn't listen to what the president says on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, Trump tried over the weekend to say, you know, don't worry about the Chinese talks. Things will be fine. Yeah. Market went up a little bit this morning, and now it's down over 100 points again.
And the Chinese were saying over the weekend that there's no way that they're going to be coming back to the negotiating table anytime soon.
Well, of course. The Chinese, most Asian cultures are very conscious of what they call face.
Right.
In other words, you don't back them into corners. You don't shame them. You don't do the kinds of things that Mr. Trump is famous for. And, the Chinese economy is almost as big as the United States economy. Mm-hmm. By some measures, it's as big as the United States economy. They have three times our population. Mm-hmm. They have a long way to go in terms of getting the consumer middle class going. But the politicians in China don't necessarily think they should take a second seat to the U.S. or any other country. And they want to be treated well and treated as equals. And when we use those kinds of tactics with them, at some point they say, hey, stop. We'll talk to you when you start acting like a mature person.
Talking with Shelley Fishman, who, by the way, did a great job with two shows while I was away. I mean, James Reel, that was, I think, part year four.
Year four or five.
I think it's four. But it was a really good show. Bob on the other side of the glass there just gave a very, very enthusiastic thumbs up. Then your show on government was really a deep dive.
Yeah, that was a really good show with the professor from the U of A. And God, he knows so much. Mm-hmm. And he's so well known around the world. He's really a world-class speaker. Yeah. And having him here was a great honor. We'll try to get him back. He said he wants to come back, so we'll try.
We have talked a lot about the whole inequity, income inequity, the gap that is developing. Yeah. And this is reinforced in a new study, Shelley, from the people at Deutsche Bank's securities.
Yes.
Deutsche, I believe is the correct word.
Yes, Deutsche Bank.
Deutsche Bank.
They have measured the income gap as it has changed from 1989 to the present. And this is something that we've identified, you and me, Bill, as one of the short and medium term inhibitors of economic growth. This is a real bad thing. And in fact, the professor that we were talking with
Professor Millward,
was also identifying this as a huge problem politically and also economically. But the difference in wealth of the top 10% of households in the United States from 1989 to today has gone from 60% of the wealth to 70% of the wealth.
Wow.
And that's big. And the top 1% have gone from 23% to 32%. So the top 1% of wage earners or population in the country own now 32% of the wealth. Now, since that wealth is only increasing by GDP, let's say 2% a year, in order for it to have grown that much in this period of time, they had to have swept up all of that GDP growth into essentially their pockets.
Right.
Now, you say, well, that may or may not be a bad thing, and that's the subject for another show. But what it means is if the top 10% are grabbing all of that growth, the bottom 30 or 40% are not getting any of it.
Mm.
And that's the problem, because as a consumer, 70% consumer economy, if people don't have the money to spend, and if they cut back on their spending, then it disproportionately negatively affects the economy. And that's what's got us so slowed down.
The richest 10% of households in America now represent 70% of all the wealth.
That's correct. And in fact, there was another study last week that came out that the CEOs of companies in the past year have had twice the rate of growth in their pay as the people who work for them.
Mm.
And we're talking about people who don't need that kind of money. I mean, we're talking about people who get $6, $7, $8 million a year. You know, they're going up to $12, $15, $18 million a year. everybody else in those companies is growing by, you know, 1 or 2 or maybe 2.6%. We did see some good news on the income growth stage last month, announced, I think it was like 3.6% for the year. That's a really good number, but all of it was split between the top earners and the bottom earners. The people in the middle were flat.
We'll see if this becomes a big campaign issue for the Democrats.
I think it is a big campaign issue, and it's kind of the political exposure that this causes is huge, because people who don't see themselves getting ahead, don't see themselves realizing the American dream, look for someone to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And that is happening not just in the U.S., it's happening across the world. We just saw it in the European elections that started formally counting on Sunday. And what we're seeing is this idea that we need to blame someone. So we're blaming immigrants. We're blaming people who don't look or talk like us. And we're seeing that now in Europe, less extreme than was predicted, but still pretty basic, especially on the French and Italian side. And we're seeing it here as well. And yes, it is going to be a big political issue, and it is a big economic issue for investors who don't know how to react to what's going on,
right,
since things are so unpredictable, and unpredictability dissonance,
yep,
is something that investors just loathe.
All right, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. We didn't even get a chance to get into Brexit and Theresa May stepping aside.
Who?
While I was going. Yeah, yesterday's news, yeah. I guess. Anyway, Shelley, thank you very much.
So, thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
Welcome home.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies, as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Bill Buckmaster with you. Been here on the radio since 2011 and happy to be back on the air after a couple of weeks off. Kind of doing some island hopping, had a really great time down in the Caribbean, but that's really for another show. We could talk a lot about that. Green Things, one of our great sponsors, one of the things that is just, I'm so delighted with the great partners we have like Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site, home now to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Zocalo for years was over by Country Club and Broadway. They're now part of Zocalo Village. Five shops there at Green Things, so you can get all of your gardening things and some great items for the home. Let's go now to Bill Doley. Dr. Doley is president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based in Tucson, and we're very honored to have Bill as one of our more than two dozen now contributors. The list keeps growing. Regulars who contribute to this program, sometimes on a monthly basis, for sure on a quarterly basis. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to have you back in Tucson.
Back in the saddle again. Yeah. And you are, I believe today is day one of the field school. This is that's been going on for the past 7 years. Archaeology Southwest and the UA partner on the field school. Generally, is this a kind of a training for folks who are serious, Bill Doley, about your profession?
Yes. I mean, I like to draw to people's attention that Tucson is the archaeological capital of the United States. We have 50% more professional archaeologists in the city than anywhere else across the nation.
Really?
And so it takes training to become an archaeologist. And this field school program that we've been doing with the U of A for the past 7 years is really, it's like an early step. These are all undergraduates, and they're finding that they're committed enough to archaeology to see if they can sort of cut it in the first real intensive exposure to it, both in the classroom and in the field.
Your statement about so many archaeologists in Tucson and southern Arizona begs the follow-up question, why? And does the fact that the University of Arizona has a very rich history going back to probably the 1920s and 30s have anything to do with that?
Absolutely. We have the Arizona State Museum as well, which is up on the university campus, a really strong anthropology department at the U of A. The private nonprofits like Archaeology Southwest, Pima College has a really good archaeology and anthropology program, and there's a whole slew of companies based in Tucson that do archaeology under contract to explore prior to construction projects, and the National Park Service, Western Archaeological and Conservation Center. So it's home to a lot of places where archaeologists not only have opportunities, but they can get good jobs that are real jobs.
What is the difference between archaeology and anthropology?
Well, we view archaeology as a element of the sort of four major fields of anthropology. So broadly, it's all about the study of human beings and their cultural adaptations. But archaeologists focus on the material evidence that humans leave, and we use those clues and work with modern native people as well to try to understand things from from the past and up to the present.
And it's very fertile ground for young students and who want to learn about the field. And you've got so much here in Southern Arizona and over in the Silver City area, one of our great sponsors, by the way, here on the Buckmaster Show.
We try to introduce people to these young students to the idea that there's many values represented in archaeological sites. There's scientific values, the knowledge that can be gained from the study of archaeological sites, the tribes that are here still on the landscape here in Southern Arizona and throughout the Southwest. It's their heritage. They oftentimes have different interests in the archaeological record. And then a place like Tucson really gets some of its sense of place from the rich, we've had 4,000 years of agricultural history along the Santa Cruz here in Tucson, for example. So all those values come together in archaeology and preservation archaeology in particular.
Let's go to the live line. Caller Russ would like to ask a question of Dr. Bill Doley, President and CEO of Archaeology Southwest. Go ahead, Russ.
Good afternoon, Dr. Doley. I was fortunate enough to study in Orvieto, Italy with Dr. Soren and Claudio Bazzari, and what a tremendous amount of archaeology, and all connected with the University of Arizona. And I was very, it was the first time I was exposed to it, and I tell you what, it got, it became a passion of mine. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you much. And I think what's impressive about the Southwest and in the Tucson area is that there's so much that you can actually visit, and you don't necessarily have to, not that I wouldn't like a trip to the Mediterranean, but you can find a lot of archaeology much more locally.
And, you know, we have so many questions that often appear in the local news, like whatever happened to the Hohokam and kind of the mystery of the Anastasi people or the Pueblo people. So these are questions that especially your young people, I'm sure, have at the that want, are questions they want answered.
Well, that's why tomorrow early morning, we'll be heading out to a Hohokam Balcourt village on the south side of Tucson, give them a tour of that and help them see what an archaeological site can tell you without even doing any excavation. We'll head then on to San Javier Mission, see the impact of the Spanish movement into the Southwest, and then we'll head out to Topawa, to the cultural center for the Tonawtom Nation, those people whose heritage is the heritage of the Hohokam ancestors. So all of that, you know, putting it together that we're really blessed here in the Southwest to have the modern tribal descendants of these ancient cultures that we study, and it really enriches both our existence in the Southern Arizona area, as well as the work that the students learn how to do through the field school.
Before we let you go, one final question. Is there some kind of a recurring theme among these young people and the students about why they want to go into the field? And is that a theme that was familiar to you as a young person a long time ago? I don't want to say too long, but...
a geological era ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we talked about sense of place as we started off our first discussion this morning, and people had really common themes. They talked about the vegetation. People talked about the creosote bushes, or people from the Northeast about the pine trees and the smells and the associations with water and how that all ties them to place and how their families and people tie them to places. So that sense of place, I think, is a really important thing for young students to really think about, and it's starting to tie our group of a dozen students together already.
All right, Bill Doley, more information where on Archaeology Southwest?
Well, we've got a nice website that at www.archaeologysouthwest.org, and more information about preservation archaeology and the field school and other things here in the Southwest.
Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Bill.
My favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, serving right now lunch, but you could still get breakfast. The hot breakfast begins at 6:30. They've made a large investment in the grill, and everything's up and running. I had a chance to stop by after we arrived back in town, and Mona's doing very well now with the hot breakfast. So they're open right now for breakfast and lunch, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. You can find out more about Mona's at monasdanishbakery.com, but I would suggest going right to the source. Get up there right now and stop by, have lunch or breakfast. Why not do both? There you go. monasdanishbakery.com. Also a link to all of our great partners, including Fox Tucson Theater, which we'll be talking about the new season. Craig Sundberg is in the house. He'll be my next guest on Buckmaster.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. The Buckmaster Show, our arts report sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. The Fox, affectionately dubbed the crown jewel of downtown, is beaming as it announces the 2019 through 2020 new season of shows. Great schedule packed with some really premier top-tier concerts, family-friendly performances, enlightening world entertainment, genre-bending events, and Movie Palace film presentations. Members, pre-sales going on right now, and the tickets will be available to the general public beginning tomorrow, May 29th. Visit FoxTucson.com for all the details. And we've got the man himself, Craig Sundberg, is with us, the executive director of the Tucson Fox Tucson Theater Foundation, with us. How are you, Craig?
Doing great, Bill. How are you?
Very good. So it's very serendipitous to have you in studio, because this is all new information, and especially with the ticket information that we're about to give people, this is very important stuff, because tomorrow will be a big day, won't it?
Tomorrow we go on sale to the public. So we've been on sale to members, so we have some sense that people like what they see. But yeah, tomorrow's a big day for us.
Let's go into some of the shows that are planned with the 2019-2020 new season. What do you like about this season?
I like a lot about the season. I think it's a very diverse season. We've tried the last couple of years to bring something for everybody to the Fox Theater. Family programming, you mentioned, mm-hmm. classic rock singer-songwriters, world music, just a little bit of everything. So we feel like we've delivered on the coming year. Obviously, we continue to add shows all year long. So what they see on our website right now will be added to as soon as we get the season on sale tomorrow. But at least this is kind of the infrastructure of what they'll see during the coming year.
And who are some of the names that will be very familiar to people?
Well, Aaron Neville's, you know, a great singer sure. out of New Orleans. The Neville brothers, obviously super right. famous. He's probably got the purest voice of any of the Neville brothers, that kind of high-pitched. He's an R&B soul singer. So that's going to be an amazing show. We're pretty excited about this show coming up. It's a Linda Ronstadt songbook show with a woman named Ann Hampton Calloway, who's a very, very well-regarded, well-known Broadway singer mm-hmm. Who's recently moved to Tucson for personal reasons.
Really?
And this is her first major performance on a Fox stage.
That's going to be October 26th.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So if you love Linda Ronstadt's music, she can't sing it anymore. So this is probably as close as you're going to get.
This Anne, I'm looking at her picture right now, has a very uncanny resemblance to Linda Ronstadt as well.
Yep.
Which is a bit odd, but
yep,
yeah,
it is.
Anyway.
Yes, it is.
Go ahead.
We've got a couple of great flamenco shows coming up. I mean, I'm a pretty big fan of that kind of music. So there's one November 8th by a guy named Jesse Cook, who's Canadian guitarist of the year off of, you know, many years. Mm-hmm. And then a guy out of Israel, who's one of my personal favorite performers in the world, named David Broza. And he sings in Hebrew, English, Spanish, and Ladino, mm-hmm. and Arabic, actually, once in a while. And this performance, the first time he's been in Tucson, as far as I know, with a band. Wow. It's a Cuban band. So that's going to be a hot show. And that's December. Most of December is Christmas shows. We've got pretty much every kind of Christmas show you'd want, not to mention the Christmas films, obviously, including an Irish show, kids, very electric Christmas show, mariachi Christmas. But something for our Jewish patrons. Mm-hmm. They'll enjoy coming to David Broza.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it. There's almost every night it's a different Christmas show, which is great. So then you've got into the new year.
Right, and I don't want to just skip over because we still have we're planning this organ event. Our Wurlitzer organ is getting closer and closer to completion. Still has quite a ways to go, but we're planning this New Year's Eve gala to have everybody see our beautiful organ. We had a kind of a preview concert in April, which was great, but the pipes were very just a shell of what they'll be.
And a little quick history of that particular organ.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Uh-huh. So the organ's donated to the Fox Theater. It's not the original Fox organ, which was sold off for parts in the 50s, but this is a beautiful Mighty Wurlitzer organ from the same era, the 1920s, and it's a thing to behold. It's a beauty. And with our 3,000 pipes, it's going to make quite a racket.
Wow. Yep. Are the Chieftains coming this year?
Chieftains are coming back. We have it on fairly good authority that this will be their final tour. Mm. They haven't formally announced that yet, but that's what we've been told. But if it's not their final tour, it'll be almost their final tour. So I definitely, if you're a fan of the Chieftains or Irish music in general, I'd buy tickets to that show. Soon after that, we have another great Irish band, probably the next best Irish band out there, called Alton. Mm-hmm. A little more folky than maybe the Chieftains, but that's another opportunity to see kind of some great Irish music.
And celebrate St. Patrick's Day, because it's very close.
Correct, and both of them are kind of, most of the Irish bands tend to travel through the States during that period. Since we're kind of on a world music run,
right.
I'll just mention the next show coming up after that, which is called Bollywood Boulevard. It's the tagline is a live journey through Hindi cinema. Mm. So it's a It's a stage performance, music and dancing, but it's a tribute to all the great Indian films.
And there are a lot of Indian film fans in town.
There sure are. And we're working on that show with the India Society of Southern Arizona. They're very excited to partner with us. And I should have mentioned, speaking of partners, that Israeli show is a partnership with the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona.
And how about partners in our community? How is the Fox Tucson Theater Foundation doing?
We're doing great. When I started just about 10 years ago, we had a $700,000 budget. The annual budget was $700,000. We're now right about a $5 million budget. We earn $4 million of that through ticket sales, concessions, and rentals. And we raise about $1 million, so about an 80-20 split, which is very solid for a performing arts center. And the community's definitely responded to what we're doing. They come out for the shows, they donate money, so we've been very pleased that people like what we're doing and hope they'll continue to support us.
And the Fox has been, you've been doing almost, I don't want to say every night, but it seems like there's a lot of activity almost every night.
Well,
during
it's about
certain times
during
of the year.
During the high season, definitely very busy. It's about 170 or so events a year.
Wow.
So a little less than every other day.
Uh-huh.
But we don't do that much in the summer. So in season, there's almost something, four or five times a week anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to mention, you mentioned films earlier, because the summer we try and, go back to that
it's
piece of
cool
our history.
Cool inside.
It is very nicely air conditioned, yes. We were the first public building in Tucson with air conditioning.
Wow.
Back
did
in
not
1930.
Know that. Yep. I always learn something every day. That's why I do this show. Tell me about films.
So upcoming film, we have a couple coming up the next couple of weeks. We were showing Spinal Tap. It's like the 40th anniversary of Spinal Tap or something. So that's coming. And I believe that's a week from Saturday.
Okay.
And then it might actually be this Saturday. And then right after that, we're showing the Mighty Wind, which features some of the same performers. It's a folk music takeoff. Pretty fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then end of the month, we're doing something with Tucson Film Fest and our good friend Herb Stratford. It's a Star Wars revival. So it's the original three films, which you almost never see in theaters.
Yeah.
The Lucas... Mm-hmm. Folks hold those films very close to their vest.
So you get the trilogy.
We get the trilogy coming. Mm-hmm. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. You can buy a ticket to one or all three. Mm-hmm. And we think that's going to be super popular.
What's this Breakfast at Tiffany's event?
That's actually a fundraiser for
The Hart Foundation? No, it's a...
No, Andra Hart Foundation.
Andra Hart Foundation.
It's a youth-oriented nonprofit that helps kids with various needs. And that is their annual event at the Fox. They almost always do an Audrey Hepburn film.
Very cool.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a great lineup. And I was just curious about booking all of this, Craig Sumberg. This is a huge job to do. Do you do a lot of the booking? Or
It is a huge job. And I used to do the booking for the theater some years ago. But as we've gotten bigger, couldn't do that.
No.
All the other things on my
plate. So, I mean, is it like you book a year in advance or even longer?
We book anywhere from 3 months out to a year in advance, depending on the show.
Right,
so we have
right.
put a season together. We book out further for that. Some of these shows like the World Music, the Chieftains, obviously those folks have to plan further in advance. That India show is a big thing to put together. The rock and roll bands and the country shows, which you don't see much on the calendar right now, but those will come because those folks decide, let's go out on the road in 3 months, and they put together a band.
So you've got to be ready to plug in some stuff.
We do, and we've got dates on the calendar, plenty of dates left.
Mm-hmm.
So if people don't see anything on the season they want to see right now, check back in a week or two because there'll be more. In fact, Rufus Wainwright, who's a young
yeah, ish, see, he's coming.
That's not on the original sheet we sent out, but that did get booked. And then there's two other shows that are not on the sheet I'm looking at, but we've got Pure Prairie League coming back to the theater. We've got Atlanta Rhythm Section and Firefall. So yeah, there's some other great classic rock coming, it's just something for everyone.
Where should folks go to the website?
Yep, foxtucson.com. Everything's on there, including membership information. If they want to buy tickets before the public tomorrow, they could join the Fox today.
Mm-hmm.
Just a suggestion.
Okay.
That's a $75 contribution, and then they can buy tickets to any of these shows that we've just mentioned. or wait till tomorrow at noon when everybody else goes on the website. Mm-hmm. It probably will take a little while tomorrow.
Okay.
Or you can show up at the Fox box office anytime. We're right. open 11 to 6 Tuesday through Friday.
FoxTucson.com.
And Craig, 2 hours before shows.
Craig, thank you very much.
Bill, thank you for your support. We appreciate it very much.
We certainly appreciate your partnership. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Craig Sundberg and Bob Dio, my great engineer producer, it's good to be back with you. I'll be with you tomorrow. Have a great day.